Open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. I'm going to jump in here and work Daniel because I'm going to try to quit about 9 o'clock. And we have a young church planter from Canada who is here with us. He'll preach for us tonight in this service. He's going to share his testimony at the end of this service before we're dismissed for small group. And this morning we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 12 as we walk through the book of Daniel. We're about finished. I like you, spend a great deal of time Sunday evening and during the day Monday watching television coverage of the shootings at First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, Texas. Such a heartbreaking reality. And I was watching CNN, in fact, at one point when the reporter began to interview an older woman who had been a member of First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, Texas, since 1954. And when she started talking, you could tell that she just had a ring of sincerity and godliness to her. She was kind and she was tender and gracious, and she spoke very honestly to the reporter about how much she loved the people, many of the people who had been shot and killed were friends. She said they were like family, and she expressed how they were all hurting so deeply and heartbroken. She kind of looked off into the distance and said, "We've lost generations, and it's hard to comprehend." She said, I really can't understand it. But, Beulah Wilson said, "You know what? God is still on his throne." And I could tell the way that reporter was looking at her that he kind of thought, you know, that's an awfully naive thing to say. Out of touch. It sounded to him like a silly, shallow cliche. God's still on his throne at a time like that? Is it a naive, silly cliche, or is it a deep bedrock of Bible truth? We've been walking through the book of Daniel for several weeks now. In fact, this is the 14th sermon that I've preached from Daniel. And you remember that the theme of Daniel is that Daniel is in exile, but God is on his throne. That affirmation, God is on his throne, is not an affirmation that people lean on just when things are going well, but it's an affirmation that people lean on, especially when they're in exile, when they're being oppressed, when they're suffering, when life does not make sense. That's when people, the people of God, learn to sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." To express their confidence, kind of a stubborn confidence, that the Lord is on his throne. Well, this morning we come to Daniel chapter 12, and we're going to learn in the first part of Daniel chapter 12 that the people of God endure when evil does its worst because we live with an eternal perspective. The people of God can endure even when evil does its worst because we experience evil and suffering in a context of eternity. We have this eternal perspective. And we see this rise to the surface right at the beginning of Daniel chapter 12. We're going to look this morning at Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Now, I promised you last week that I was going to finish Daniel this morning. But Daniel chapter 12 is really two sections. The first section is verse 1 through 3, which is actually the last section of that angel's vision that he gives to Daniel in chapter 11. And I was going to squeeze that in to the closing remarks of Daniel that begin in verse 4 and 5 and go through the end of the chapter. But I don't have time for that this morning. So we're not going to finish Daniel this morning. We're just going to look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. partly because of what happened last Sunday there at Sutherland Springs. We're going to learn in these three verses that the people of God endure when evil does its worst. We can bear up, we can stand firm, we can continue, because we live with an eternal perspective. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now, at that time, and pause there. You remember last week what time it is. Now, at that time is a reference back to the end of chapter 11, the battle with the Antichrist at the end of time. In fact, Jesus in the Gospels will use the very language of Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, to speak to the end of times. Now, at that time, the battle of the Antichrist with the Lord, when he will come to his end, at the time of that great battle, at the end of the world, Michael, the great prince, the angel who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. Michael's a fighter. He's a battler. There's a great battle. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. This is the worst hard time. Never before has there been such a bad time of distress, of trouble. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, and these to everlasting life. But the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight, wisdom, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. Now, there's a lot that the angel says to Daniel there in those three verses. And I want us to make sure that we understand it this morning. In these three verses, we will find a description of the people of God who will endure the worst hard time. And this is a tribulation at the end of times that God's people will endure. But it gives us insight into how the people of God of every generation endure hardship and suffering. Faithful, even in the face of unspeakable evil. When we look at the rest of Daniel chapter 12, we'll talk about the tribulation and the timing of it. But for this morning, I want you to see in these three verses how the angel of the Lord gives Daniel and the people of God insight into how we endure under the worst of circumstances. When evil does its worst, how do we keep our faith? How do we bear up? How do we stand firm and endure? And what you see in these three verses are what I describe as the essential elements of our enduring with an eternal perspective. And I want to sum these three verses up with four words. Four words that are an eternal perspective. The first word is the word salvation. Rescue is the way the New American Standard translates the word. Do you see it at the end of verse 1? And there will be a time of distress, trouble, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Rescued. Some of our English translations say delivered. This is the Old Testament word that means to be released, to be set free, to be saved. In fact, when the Old Testament is translated into Greek, the document we call the Septuagint, then this word is most often translated with the Greek word for salvation. Shall be saved, shall be rescued, delivered. And notice that the angel says to Daniel, here's who will be saved, rescued, delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Now, this is beautiful biblical language. I want to make sure you appreciate. Everyone who is written in the book, the angel says, will be rescued. Not everyone who is counted as a member of the people of God, not everyone who's a Jew, not everyone who sits in a pew, but everyone whose name is in the book will be rescued, the angel says. Now, that's great language that has deep roots in the scriptures. Remember when Moses is interceding on behalf of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 32? He says, God, if you won't forgive them, then just blot my name out of your book. You remember that? God has a book with the names of his people in it, Moses says. And remember Jesus in Luke chapter 10? It says to his disciples, listen, I'll tell you what should make you happy. Rejoice in this, that your names are recorded in heaven. And some of you are aware of the fact that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, this very same language is used to describe that day of judgment before the great white throne, when the book of life is opened up. And so here, the angel of the Lord uses the same language of everyone who is found written in the book. I'm getting so old. I carry a little book around with me. So you know what I mean, don't you? Because, man, if it's in my head, it's not too secure. But if I write it in my book, and that's the image of written in the book is an image that communicates security. The Lord knows those who are his. Their names are written in the book. And so the angel communicates the security of the salvation of the people of God with his imagery of everyone who is found written in the book. The Lord knows his people, those who are saved. And of course, we understand this through the promises of the gospel in the New Testament, that all those who have turned from sin and trusted in Christ Jesus so that his Holy Spirit has come to live and work within, bringing redemption and new life in Christ Jesus. Those who know the great shepherd are known by the great shepherd and secure with him. This is a gospel promise of salvation that's secure. But the exiles might say, well, rescue is great for those who survive. But what about those who die in the battle or in the prisons or in the struggle before the victory comes? And so the angel presses on, and we realize that this salvation is a salvation that involves resurrection. That's the second word. Resurrection. Look at verse 2. Many of those who sleep, not in their bed, in the dust of the ground, will awake. These to everlasting life. Now, if you mark in your Bible, you ought to circle verse 2 and take off your shoes, because this is holy ground in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 is the first mention in the scripture of everlasting life. Everlasting life. Some of you, since you were a child, could say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You didn't know that language came from this angel in Daniel chapter 12, did you? Everlasting life. I spent a lot of time over the past few weeks doing a lengthy word study of the Hebrew here. Everlasting. Do you know what I discovered? Do you know what this Hebrew word means? Everlasting. everlasting, perpetual, always, forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we've first begun. Everlasting life. So those who are asleep in the dust will awake. Those who are dead and in their graves will arise to everlasting life. You see, the reality that Daniel and the exiles understood probably better than we understand is that oftentimes in this life, there is no relief. There is no justice in this world. Remember, He's got the whole world in His hand is an old Negro spiritual. This is a theological theme for people who don't find justice in this life. There's no justice in this world, in this life, for the children of Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church. There's no justice in this world for those Christians imprisoned in North Korea or suffering in Somalia. In fact, didn't the Apostle Paul, in that great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, say, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied? Because Paul says, what I'm getting in the here and now, it doesn't measure up. And so when the angel seeks to call Daniel and the other exiles and the people of God for the ages to bear up under suffering, he has to move to eternity and speak to them about a salvation that involves resurrection. Because this is a suffering that will only be made right in eternity. And we experience and endure unspeakable evil in the context of resurrection life, of everlasting life. So salvation, resurrection, here's a third word, vindication. Do you notice in verse 2, it's not only the people of God who are resurrected. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These written in the book to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Listen, if you're one of that majority of American Christians who are not sure whether or not you believe in hell, then you got a problem here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. I'm not sure all that disgrace and everlasting contempt is, but it sounds like hell to me. Resurrected to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And now listen, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here this morning, but this might seem overly harsh to soft, cuddled Christians like us. But to our brethren who are suffering unspeakable evil at the hands of godless men in this world, it sounds like justice. It sounds like vindication. It's a word of promise and hope and comfort. Remember, the Apostle Paul said to suffering believers, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's strong language, and it gives strength to people who are suffering at the hands of evil and godless men and women. So the essential elements for enduring under evil and suffering because of an eternal perspective: salvation, resurrection, vindication, and the fourth word, reward. Look at how the reward is described in verse 3. Those who have insight, those who have wisdom, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heavens. And those who lead the many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. There's an eternal perspective for you, isn't it? Forever and ever. This is a promise of glory, eternal glory, for the people of God who walk with wisdom and insight, especially for those who stand firm and encourage others to stand firm, to those who lead the many to righteousness, for those of us who are followers of Christ and lead others to follow Christ, encourage them to stand firm, to bear up, to be faithful, who teach and instruct, who evangelize and establish. Look at this promise, verse 3. You will have time to shine for all eternity. You see how that's a promise of reward to a faithful believer who's never recognized? To a faithful follower of Christ today who's rotting in prison? Whose name none of us know or ever will know this side of eternity? Verse 3 says, listen, brethren, stand firm. You will have time to shine for all eternity. An eternal glory, shining like the stars forever and ever. That's a promise for men like Daniel living in exile, for people who are suffering even today. In fact, just take a look at the very last verse of Daniel chapter 12. When all is said and done, here's the final word of the angel to old Daniel, the exile. But as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end, then you will enter into rest and rise again. For your allotted portion at the end of the age. Now, there's a lot of gospel there, isn't there? Notice there are two ends. The first end is the end of Daniel's life. The second end is the end of the age. He said, Daniel, you stand firm, you run your race, you go your way until your life is over. And you'll enter your rest. He's talking about death, the grave. And then you'll stand, you'll rise for your allotted portion at the end of the age. That's eternal language. Now, allotted portion is important Old Testament language. The King James, I think, just says, you'll stand on your lot. This is an Old Testament word that's used about 25 times in the book of Joshua. Can you remember what's happening in the book of Joshua? Joshua conquers the land. And remember what he does? He divides it up. He gives everybody their lot. This is the same word. Daniel, you're going to die in exile, and they're going to bury you. You're never going to go back to Jerusalem with the rest of the exiles. You're going to die there in Susa, and they're going to bury you. And one day you'll stand on your lot, your allotted portion, your inheritance. Daniel, you be faithful and endure to the end of your life. Because even though you're not going to return with the other exiles, you can rest assured that you'll get your lot. Your inheritance is secure. And you see, what the angel is teaching Daniel is something that the people at the end of days are going to need to know. And it's the people like you and me, even today, need to know. It's that the people of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, endure when evil does its worst, because we live with an eternal perspective. We live with a hope of salvation and resurrection and vindication and reward. That's why Beulah Wilson, in the face of unspeakable evil, could say, "But you know what? God is on His throne." Fix your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by evil man against Himself, so that you might not grow weary and lose heart. Bow your head with me for prayer. Jesus, we praise You because You are our example for bearing up, standing firm, enduring, even in the face of unspeakable evil. We praise You, Lord Jesus, because You suffered injustice, evil, even death. And in You, we know salvation, resurrection, vindication, and reward. Hallelujah. We rejoice in the good news of Jesus this morning. Father, I pray that no matter what comes our way, we'd stand firm, we'd finish our course, we'd find our rest with confidence that one day we'll stand in our lot, in Your presence, with a glory that shines forever and ever. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of invitation to give opportunity to respond. It could be you can respond right there in your seat, praying or singing. Maybe you need to come forward and pray here at these front steps as an altar, or come to join our church. Maybe you're having a hard time and you want one of our pastors to pray with you so that you might endure, stand firm, have hope. This invitation is your opportunity. And some here have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You don't have confidence that after you die, you have the hope of heaven, of eternal life. You don't have confidence that your name is written in the book because you've turned from sin and trusted in Christ as Savior. This invitation is your chance to come to faith in Christ. It's for you here. You can come and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Let's stand together now and sing, and as we're singing, you come.